They're too little.
Don't find out a little on use.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll bring the meeting back to order. As a point of procedure, the tabled item has to be our last item covered at the end of the day. So, my apologies, Jennifer, it's just the way it is. 2719, we're moving to 2719. 2719, would the proponent please state the case?
Well, Jennifer Hatfield, and I would just like to refer to what the testimony of Don Cesarone said earlier relating to 2718. This is still the same issue, final inspection.
Move the table, Mr. Chairman. We have a motion and a second?
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor of tabling this item?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're moving to 2720. 2720, would the proponent please state your case?
Jennifer Hatfield with the Florida Swimming Pool Association. And this modification, it relates to, it removes the word matched because the term matched components is widely misinterpreted to mean components produced by a given manufacturer. They actually have to be, they have to match. But some manufacturers don't even produce all the components used in a given system. So you may be able to produce very efficient, high-quality components which will work well together, but they may be produced by different manufacturers. So this is just to remove that unnecessary language that's unclear, because it doesn't, they don't, the components don't have to be matched. And that's about it for that one.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponents on 2720? Dale, are you a proponent?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Lake County, Dale Bryan, Lake County. I would be in favor of this simply because not all components are matched, and you can mix and match a lot of these components. And there's no reason they won't work together. That's the problem for the contractor to resolve, not something for the code to resolve.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponents? Proponents on 2720. Do we have any opponents on 2720? Do we have a second on the motion?
I'll second.
We have a second. Open for discussion, TAC. Is there any discussion on 2720?
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Question.
424.2.20 deals with filters. When they're talking about the matched components, are those components other than the filter is what they're talking about?
Can you give me a few minutes to discuss? I think that my understanding was just with the filter, but can I ask one of my members to clarify with me? Is that okay?
Go ahead.
Okay.
The code is quite clear, Gary. Filters, the entire, what it reads now is the entire design of match components should have the sufficient capacity to provide a complete turnover water in 12 hours. That would entail the pump, the motor, the filter, the piping, and any other items like chlorinators and other items that would, heaters that would be in that system.
Proponents, you concur with that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Move the issue.
Call the question. All those in favor of...
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
I think that I'm a little bit confused because it's entitled filter, and by taking that word out, I think my interpretation is that we're talking about filter components, and if we're actually talking about system components, don't we need that word in there for clarification?
No. May I respond to that? My name is Roy, Illinois. I'm with Artesian Pools and Florida Swimming Pool Association. Basically, when you're talking about filters, I mean, filters, pumps and filters make up the filtration system. So when we're talking about that particular system, it could be a mismatch, mixed match. It didn't have to be a brand filter with that same brand motor or pump.
I think that's what the code says.
If what you said earlier is correct, if it were the components of just the filter, it would need to be that filter's components.
That's my point, is like the way this reads now with the title, that's what it's telling me is it's the filter. If we're talking system components, I think we've got to say that.
Well, the problem comes into if you were talking about lights, for example. Most people use a wet niche light in the swimming pool. It's a receptacle for the light. They may use some other brand's light in that light niche, although the manufacturer of the niche might in fact also make its own light, but they are compatible components.
Mr. Sharon, just a comment. I don't think the intent of the code when it said match components was components by the same manufacturer. I think what it intended is that you have match components so you don't have a pump that will blow the filter apart to something of that sort. Not same manufacturer. The code never takes into consideration manufacturer who makes it or anything like that.
He's exactly right. The problem is the interpretation.
And furthermore, some of these changes are starting to seem like knee-jerk reactions to failure to be able to deal with a problem in a municipality or whatever. That's what local appeal boards are for.
Well stated and on point. Kevin?
I just want to say, you mentioned the word compatible. Replace the match with compatible, if that's better, and you said it was. Compatible components would mean that it's going to work, function in the same efficient way.
Well, isn't the assumption they're supposed to be compatible? I mean, regardless, I mean, isn't that the standard assumption?
I think the current language is a little bit misleading in thinking that they have to be some way matched. I think compatible is probably a better use of the word.
So, are you proposing an amendment to the language, Kevin? Or?
If that's going to work, yeah, absolutely. Gets us out of here.
Gets us out.
You want to take match? All right, we have a motion and a second. Discussion on the TAC on the amendment on the amended motion.
I don't, Mr. Chair, I don't think that's necessary. I think
it's already here,
Gary. If you take matched out of there, that's enough. You don't need to add another word that somebody else in the field is going to misinterpret what compatible is now. Why do we even need to have compatible?
my interpretation without that compatible or system or some word to tell me that I'm talking something other than the filter, I think that's going to create more confusion instead of eliminating.
Can I throw my two cents
in? Please.
If we took all those words out, the component shall have sufficient capacity to provide a complete turnover within 12 hours. That's all you need to say. Yeah. Everything else is superfluous. So my option would be to remove all that and just make it a very simple sentence.
I like that. A motion to further modify?
Yes, that's a motion to further modify.
I'll second that. All right, we have a motion. And a second to the second amendment to the modification. Open for discussion. Is there any further discussion on this, or should we call the question?
Call the question.
All right, we're going to call the question now on the second amendment, on George's amendment to strike the entire. All those in favor of striking the entire sentence, raise your hand. Okay, it's
10-1.
We're missing one.
Right?
Okay,
no,
I'm sorry.
No, the sentence.
What do you mean? The entire sentence.
You just struck the whole sentence. That it wasn't what the.
No.
We took part of the sentence out.
Entire sentence.
Amendment.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we're voting on the first amendment as modified to 2720.
I'll move that.
Pardon me?
I'll move the amendment. Go ahead.
Okay. We're ready to vote on this. Okay. So we're calling a question on, as amended, 2720. All those in favor, raise your hand. Aye.
Aye.
Passes 11-0. And then the mod itself, 2720. Huh? We did it. Let's do that. Okay. All right. Congratulations. You did something. 2721. With the proponent, please.
Jennifer Hatfield, Florida Swimming Pool Association. I'd like to reference my previous state testimony from the mod 2720, and we support the same amendment that you just made.
Do we have a second?
A second.
We have a second, so open for TAC discussion. Any discussion?
Move the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Move the amendment.
Do we need a second here?
A second. Okay. And we'll call the question on the
amendment.
All those in favor, raise your hand. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Kevin, were you with us?
Yes.
11-1, 11-0. And now on the mod. All those in favor, raise your hand. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. 11-0. All right, moving on to 27-22. Would the proponent please state your case?
Jennifer Hatfield with the Florida Swimming Pool Association. After further review of this modification, and because the current ANSI 5 circulation standard addresses the issue in this modification, we'd like to request that we withdraw this modification.
Thank you very much. 2723, proposal. The proposal, please, for 2723.
I'd like to reference my previous testimony and have this withdrawn.
Thank you very much. 2346, proposal, please.
I'm the proponent, Mr. Chairman, and in view of the previous votes, I withdraw this.
Thank you, Ken. 2347. Proponent, please.
Got none. I submitted this in because I have a personal concern in talking with other industry professionals. We are entering in an area where waterborne diseases are on the increase, both in commercial and residential. In a commercial pool, a skimmer is required for every 400 square foot of surface area or fraction thereof. If you talk to the state health department, this requirement is due to the requirement to remove water or surface debris on the top of the pool. For example, in a commercial pool, you can use surface skimmers, when the pool's equal to 1,000 or less square footage. But the requirement for these surface skimmers are to make sure that the debris gets removed. With the fact that we're trying to protect the safety of everyone, it makes sense to me to require the same requirement of 400 square foot or their fraction. In the ANSI 5 right now, it's 800 square feet or any fraction thereof. And in my talks across the state, most all contractors were in agreements that we should decrease this square footage by some figure, could not come up with a consensus figure, so I chose that, which is in 60-40.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponents who would like to comment? No other proponents? Do we have any opponents?
Commissioners.
I'm not here as a commissioner.
I am.
Dale Greiner, Lake County. I would be opposed to this simply because it's contrary to ANSI 5, which is already 600. We're already half of that. We're at 300. There's no need to cut that any further. And there's no backup data showing you that we have a problem. That's very important to this changing them on. We don't have anything that says that's a real problem. I'm not sure that Florida is any different than any other high-volume sun state, such as California, Arizona.
Thank you.
Lorraine Ross, Intech Consulting, representing APSP. I'm going to say me too with what Dale just said, that this is covered by the current ANSI standard. If there are issues that are developing, certainly there is a process that ANSI has in place to do revisions on those standards. So with collection of data and have peer review on that data, then that would be the appropriate place to make these changes. So we're in opposition to this mod. Thank you.
Do we have any other opponents, please?
John O'Connor, Building Officials Association of Florida, Co-Development Committee, and the committee also opposes this for previous stated reasons.
Thank you. Opponents, please.
Jim Manning, United Pool and Spa Association. That it does require one skimmer per 400 square foot of public pool is correct. But historically, that goes back into about 1982, when the State Health Department was very much opposed to the use of skimmers on any public pool. Therefore, this 400 square foot criteria was a compromise at that time. I don't know of any, having experience both in public and residential pools, I don't know of any engineering or manufacturer's instruction or any sound criteria that would cause us to have more skimmers than we already have. It's just, the data just does not support that. Mm-hmm. And once again, that it's in the public code, it was more of an emotional issue 25 years ago.
Thank you. Do we have any other opponents? Would the proponent care to rebut?
With the fact that both the APSP or the Florida Swimming Pool Association and UPS is against it, I will withdraw.
Thank you very much. 2347 is withdrawn. 2348, may I have the proponent, please?
Can I have a minute to convert?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw this.
Thank you very much. 2348 is withdrawn. 232331, fuel gas. Would the proponent please state the case? Do we have a proponent on 2331?
Dan?
It's from DCA, I believe.
That came from DCA.
Dan.
That's fuel gas. It's on fuel gas.
Yes.
Yes.
Section 306.3, fuel gas. Basically, it's on the appliances and attics. Revise the fuel gas code to include Florida air handler provisions implemented by the commission in response to these challenges.
Do we have a second to the motion?
I'll
second. Yeah. That is second. Open to TAC discussion. Do we have any supporters of the motion, by the way?
Lake County supports.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Also, you're on 2-4.
Are there any other supporters of the motion?
Lorraine Ross, at consulting, representing myself, I would support this because it does eliminate conflicts that are currently with respect to appliances, distances from the attic access.
Thank you. Do we have any opposition to the motion? Seeing no opposition to the motion, and we have a second, we'll open it to TAC discussion. Garrett?
Well, I'm not really sure why we're adding all this additional language in with air handling units and attics in the fuel gas code, unless we just want to make the code a little bit thicker. Some of it, the first paragraph there may be some footages and things like that perhaps should track from one code to the other, but I don't really know why we would carry it as far as to, you know, put notices about the air conditioning system and placards and everything else.
Question staff. Bruce, is there a correlating change to the mechanical code?
Don't know about that. Can you hold on 1 second,
I think the mechanical code already says this.
Yeah.
And you're trying to take the mechanical language over to the fuel gas code.
My understanding, they're just trying to match this up with what's in the mechanical, my understanding, rather than rewrite it.
If it pleases the chair, I believe that this was made by Ann Stanton, mm-hmm, from staff.
Correct. Yes.
Handling the challenge that was done by the Home Builders Association with respect to air handlers in attics, and what she's trying to do here is make sure that everything coordinates between the mechanical code and the plumbing code.
The coordination,
yes, effort. Including the language that was on the sticker and everything else was all part of a negotiated agreement.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for the report. Kevin?
We still have in the plumbing code similar language, but it had to do with water heaters. Now, that's not going to get any damage to that, because I just don't see only having a 6 foot from where your access door is to where you get to the water heater. Sometimes you want it to be 20 feet from the access door, because now you're wasting water and hot water and stuff. So you're really screwing up the efficiency or the energy code. Now, I don't know. Everybody keeps saying mechanical and air handlers and gas. I don't think too many people put gas appliances up in the attic. Water heaters. I've only considered the fact that this won't screw up an electrical water heater that they want to stick up in the attic.
No, this was strictly related to air handling units and, in the attic. And it had to do with, we had these long discussions in the commission that had to do with how anybody knew that there was an air handler in the attic and that type of stuff, and the availability of that particular piece of equipment. So that's the background. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's exactly the same wording.
So this is really designed as more of a cleanup.
Wordsmithing.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's currently in the plumbing code. So, and there's no provision to put it in the plumbing code. And I don't think it needs to be in the plumbing code. So, and I don't think it needs to be in the fuel gas code either. Well, I think it's a mechanical change.
It's intended for the fuel gas code.
It needs. What the wording that she's got with the things is right out of the new International Fuel Gas Code, which is the 2006 edition. And what she's trying to do is take that wording and change it so it matches the settlement that they had, because if we don't, then we're going to have a conflict, because we're going to say that a gas appliance is going to be 20 feet, but your regular AC can only be 6 feet. So that's going to really clean it up and make everything match. That's what she's trying to do. Is you have in the mechanical code, you have an air handler requirement, and in the gas code, if you put a gas furnace up in your attic, you can do it, but according to the international code, they have different requirements. So I think this is just to clean it up. So if you put a combination gas air conditioning unit in your attic, there needs to be the same requirements. This is that.
Bruce, this is strictly housekeeping? Is that what this basically is?
That's exactly what this works.
Up there.
Designed for clarification.
The air handler.
Does anyone on the TAC have any other questions regarding this mod? All right, we are on 2331. We will call the question. All those in favor, raise your hand, please.
You don't hear anything.
Any opposed? Mm-hmm. That would be 10-1. Pass.
You mean the
lighting
fixtures and that?
Mod number 2006. Please state your case and proponent.
No.
That's
the one we just did.
The other code.
The structural cut.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that 2006?
Yeah. No, we didn't, Mr. Chair, we didn't do that one.
Yeah,
we did one that looked a lot like that, but 2006 is a it's a plumbing code change. So,
well, we did didn't we do? We actually withdrew all three of them. We drew 1982, 2007, 2008. Those are three we withdrew.
Right. That was true. Yeah, actually,
this is 2006. But it's the same wording as the other.
Yeah.
2007, 8, and 9.
And we'll just pass over there. Someone will pass
here. Can we assume that it was withdrawn?
These are the ones.
Well, let's look at 2006. Let's see what it is here exactly.
It's exactly the same wording.
There's about four of them that are quite similar here.
I don't know what system's for.
First one I failed. Hold on for 1 second. Let's see. Make sure
she applied.
All the modifications.
The other ones were in Chapter 18 of the building code. This is Chapter 320.
What's this for? I think what it says.
You didn't have that on the agenda.
No. We took action on it.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. We took action on 6. That's leading. We voted on it.
Gentlemen, in essence, 2006 was quite similar to 2007. 2008, 2009, and 1982. Mm-hmm. The language is—it's all about the permit size and the CPVC piping. Mm-hmm. But it is on our agenda to take up, so we need to at least—you either have to second it or you can let it die, for lack of a second. Do we have any proponents? Start over. Do we have any proponents for 2006?
No, just not here.
Do we have any opponents for 2006? Seeing none, do we have a second at 2006? Do we have a second at 2006? The motion dies for lack of a second.
Okay. That's good.
2306. Do we have a proponent?
Good afternoon, Sean Geraldo-Matos with Schluter Systems, proponent for this proposal. Basically, just to recap it briefly and maybe get a little more information, the idea here is that traditional waterproofing systems for tiled showers basically consist of pan liners that are placed on a slope substrate, and then since you can't bond tile to these types of membranes, you have to put a mortar setting bed on top of the membrane, then add your tile. So the idea there is that the tile layer itself isn't waterproof. Water percolates down through the mortar bed to the pan liner and out through the weep holes in the drain. Any water that hasn't gone through the grade assembly. Excuse me. The proposal is to add this new type of membrane. When I say new, I'd say bear in mind they've been around for about 20 years now. And the way that these membranes function is that they're actually put on the surface of the mortar bed, on the surface of the walls, and they do allow for the direct bond of ceramic tile. So the idea here is that you're managing the water in the assembly more efficiently than you were before. In essence, with a traditional system, even though you do have means to evacuate water at the subsurface level, by and large, the mortar beds that are put down on these pan liners are going to remain saturated if the shower is used with any regularity. As the pH decreases over time through body oils, shampoos, hair conditioners, any of these kind of things, that you're really running much more risk for an environment that's conducive to mold growth. So it's two things, really. Aside from just a different type of water proofing and keeping the structure dry, it's also just a better system for allowing the shower to actually dry out and preclude the chance for mold growth within the system. I've got some additional information here that's basically it's information that I've called out in my proposal, the ANSI standard, just so you can have a quick look at it if you haven't had a chance to already, a few data sheets from different manufacturers of these types of membranes, as well as some other information, if it would be all right if I start with it.
Are these membranes like painted on?
Not the ones that I'm proposing, actually. There are ones that are painted on, either liquid or trowel applied, but this proposal is specific to sheet applied membranes. Mm-hmm.
John, I have a question. This ANSI standard, is it a published standard?
Yes.
You proposed a change to the IPC in Orlando.
Correct.
It was different language than this, but it was essentially the same thing. And that proposal failed, and my notes say it was because of a non-conforming standard. I don't know what that means, but can you elaborate on why it failed the IPC hearings?
I can, certainly. Basically, as part of the IPC hearings, any of the International Code Council hearings, staff has to look at the standards that are proposed, and they have a checklist of different criteria to determine if they're conforming to what the International Code Council deems appropriate. It was found that there was some non-mandatory language in this standard, and I can actually give you an example of it. I haven't been able to meet with staff at the ICC to make sure that every last detail has been addressed, but as part of just the initial stages of going back to the ANSI committee and taking care of a couple of details, I can direct you to page 98 in the ANSI standard. If you look under M3.2 temperature, this is basically just calling out the temperature at which the tests are going to be run. But in the second paragraph, it says that components, including latex, mortar, tile, et cetera, used in performing all tests should be stored at that temperature specified for each test for a minimum of 12 hours prior to use. Now, the subtle difference here is that it says should be stored rather than shall be stored. So certainly this is something that, you know, in principle needs to be addressed. In regard to how does it affect the results of this type of testing? Is it significant? It's my personal opinion that in general it won't be. At least in so much as I'm not going to see a false positive test as a result of somebody storing materials at a slightly different temperature than what's called out for each test to be run at. And I'll give you an example. If you look at the test data that we have for at least the membrane that Schluter Systems produces, that some of the testing in there is bond strengths. And this product is bonded to a concrete block with thin-set mortar, and tile is bonded to the membrane with thin-set mortar. So the mortars being cementitious materials, the rate at which they cure is going to be dependent on temperature, to a degree at least. If you drop the temperature down to, say, 50 degrees or less, that the actual strength gain of the material is going to be severely compromised. The earliest age test is a week. So if the tests are going to be run at this temperature, that it's not likely to think that you're going to have any samples that are stored for any significant amount of time at an adverse temperature.
I might help out a little bit. This came down to our area, and it's going to be the same problem that we came up with and recommended to this gentleman, that what we're talking about here is something that the plumbing contractor, which I think the plumbing code is to direct plumbing contractors and plumbing journeymen and plumbing employees of a plumbing company to do a particular job and how to do it, and then we can inspect it as plumbing inspectors. What we're doing here, if I'm not wrong, maybe you can correct me, is the fact that we're taking this setting of a shower pan and we're giving it to the tile people. And so now a plumbing contractor or a plumbing journeyman is not involved in this anymore. So does it still belong in the plumbing code? I don't think it belongs there. This is a tile. This is done by tile workers and stuff, not by plumbing contractors.
By and large, that is true. We do have cases where when there have been code issues that we've had the tile setters work with the plumbers. But by and large, it is true that these are sold through tile distribution and installed by tile setters.
And is a plumbing contractor still want to be responsible for that fixture that he has nothing to do with it? He's going to take out the permit to put it in, and he has nothing to do with it. Now, I mean, where's the responsibility? That's the discussion. I don't know if it's worth all this stuff if it's going to be taken out of here and put in another section of the code, you know, then we're wasting our time.
George?
I have a question. You said this is attached on top of the mud, correct?
Correct.
How does this attach to the shower drain?
Well, there's different ways to do that. If you look at the glossy data sheet that I provided in the handout, our company actually manufactures a drain that's specially designed for these types of membranes. Basically, rather than having a clamping ring down at the base of the shower, it's got a bonding flange that sits on top of the shower. Be similar to some types of roof deck drains that you've probably seen, where you could have a roofing membrane that goes over the top and bonds to it. So that's one possibility. Another one of the companies represented here, they actually have a prefabricated piece that is clamped into a traditional shower drain. And essentially that performs the same function as the drain that our company manufactures, except that it's in membrane form. So it basically scoops up to the upper level, and then they bring their membrane down and bond it to that.
Aaron, got a question, staff. Was this standard actually submitted to the, along with this proposal to meet the 45-day requirement?
Did you send it into DCA?
Excuse me?
Did you send this document into DCA and for the public within 45 days?
I'm afraid not. I didn't realize that was a requirement.
The problem that we have right now is it's come as a total surprise to a lot of us, and we haven't even had an opportunity to absorb this, but legally, technically, procedurally, we're not even supposed to act on it.
Just for the proponent's sake, the requirement is that you got to send these standards into the state for at least 45 days before they come up before us, so we got time at least to look at them. This is the first time I've even seen this document. So it's kind of a procedural thing, and since we can't consider it, but just for your own application or whatever, the stuff like this that really needs to go through the model code processes. I mean, I don't know that we all have the resources here at the state of Florida to review all these new standards and everything. And I think that's a problem I have with one before even. It really needs to go through the ICC's policy and get a clean bill of health if you go from them before we even take it up.
Would you consider withdrawing this?
I suppose I would have to. If
you don't have to,
yeah, you do.
Well,
withdraw. Put it back in when you want to.
Sorry. I guess I'd rather not withdraw it. If you can't consider it, then there's certainly nothing that I can do to force that conclusion. I just would like to get whatever out of this process that I can.
Let me defer this to our attorney.
Sure.
If this is something you can't consider, you could just refuse the second, and then it dies for lack of a second. That would be my recommendation.
Thank you, Jim.
I agree with Gary that, I'm not that comfortable approving standards that, number one, we haven't seen, and number two, they haven't gone through the vetting process of the international codes. There are exceptions to that, and we had one earlier. Now, I see on your product, you've got the IATMO certification, you got ICC evaluation services, so you can use this product, but you can only use it under alternate materials and methods. Correct.
Well, actually, that brings up the main reason why I'm here is that through the information that we've gathered in the field, at least through our sales representatives, is that we've shown our third party testing, and we haven't completed our ICC evaluation yet. But by and large, the acceptance criteria that they follow basically just says that you have to meet this standard. We've got third-party testing that shows that, and the response hasn't been, it's not that it hasn't been favorable to us, but it's that it basically hasn't been considered. We've been told time and again that either you're in the code or you're not in the code. And I've instructed our salespeople to look at Section 105 and point that out and say, alternate material, we've just got to show that it does the job the way it's supposed to. But to be quite frank, is that just that hasn't. It's not that it hasn't that it's been considered and rejected. It's been, I guess, categorically denied out of hand, from what I've been told. So that's why I'm here today. So I don't know where that leaves us necessarily, but that just as an explanation that's how things came to be what they are.
That's why it's better to get into the body of the code if you at all possibly can. And that's what you're in the process of doing at ICC now.
Sure.
And you, in all likelihood, if the only problem was this little wording in the standard, by next cycle, you'll be there. And you'll be in the 09 code. And you'll be down here whether anybody here likes it or not in a few years.
Sure.
That's a good problem.
Gary, do you have something else?
I was going to say, opponent, there's a means for you to come to our Florida Association of Mechanical Gas Inspector meeting and present this if you want to, and you'll catch probably 80% of the chiefs from the state at that meeting. I would highly recommend that you do that. That meeting in June, if you'd like to see me laid out.
Oh, details on it. Certainly. I would very much appreciate that. Thank you.
Do we have any other proponents of this? Do we have any opponents?
Dale Greiner, Lake County. I would submit to the TAC that 104.11 is put in the code for exactly these type of things, alternative materials and methods. And that's exactly where this belongs, and it should be handled accordingly.
Thank you.
Jim Bickford, Chief Plumbing Inspector, City of Pompano Beach. I think it was George that mentioned this product came down to Miami to the Miami-Dade County Product Approval Committee, or it might have been Kevin. Somebody mentioned it. And I was at that meeting as well. And in that meeting, they passed around the drain that he was talking about. The drain had no markings on it. It had no identification to show that it met any standards of any kind. So we have an unknown product with a drain that doesn't even meet any of our standards as well. So that was our biggest heartburn, at least it was my biggest heartburn down there, was there was no way for us to even approve it based on the fact that it was a new product, because the components of the product didn't meet the other standards of the code. Now, I've never seen the 118.10 that was just handed out either, so I don't know what that says, but the problem we did have down there was the actual drain bodies themselves was one of the problems. And the other problem was it kept coming up that the plumbers weren't going to be doing it, the tile man was going to be doing it, and a lot of us felt that's plumber's job putting a shower pan in, not a tile man's. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other opponents? Would the proponent like to rebut any of these statements?
Briefly, Patrick, please.
Sean Girolamato, Schluter Systems. Just to address the point about the drain, it is listed to various standards, including the CSA B79. I don't know how they got a drain sample that didn't have the markings on it, but those are available. Also, an IATMO IGC 195 was developed, and we are listed to that. So,
well, in all respect, it sounds like you're doing most things right, and I'm sure staff will help you out and get you through this process.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does the opposition want to rebut? All right. We have a standing motion on the floor. Do we have a second on the motion?